As we pick up chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, it's still Easter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, actually the Jewish authorities who were the enemies of Jesus, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said again to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Easter Sunday came and went way too fast, didn't it? It was a glorious morning in this church from beginning to end. From breakfast and the time with the young disciples, music, sticks, sermon, communion, it was just glorious. And suddenly, it isn't Easter anymore. And I just wish it would last longer. At first glance, there is a mega church down in Glendale, Arizona, that seems to have solved that problem of Easter passing way too quickly. While Kim and I were in Arizona last month, we had to go by this mega church on a corner in Glendale, going and coming twice a day for a week to the archery field. And the church is so massive that we actually cut through their parking lot each time, and we literally saved, I'm not exaggerating, 5 minutes of drive time cutting through their parking lot. They have this Uber golf cart ministry for Sunday mornings. You know, you park so far away from the sanctuary that you call the golf cart and the little guy comes and gets you and you drive up to the door. It's just, they must be doing something right, right? But every time I went by that church, I was uncomfortable. Then I started to get angry. And I think, you know, my first thought was the green-eyed monster. I am jealous. This is humongous. But the more I thought about them, every time we passed, it was their signage. And this church is so mega big, they literally closed the streets Saturday and Sunday around, you know, major thoroughfares, so people can get in and out of church. But I was just uncomfortable, mad. It was their signage. All around, acres and acres all around the church, it read, "Join us for Easter, Friday, April 19th, through Sunday, April 21st. Easter, Friday through Sunday. They completely skipped Good Friday, completely ignored Holy Saturday. They separated death and uncertainty and not knowing what's going on from resurrection. Forget death and Good Friday. We don't want to do that. They're downers. We're going to celebrate Easter, resurrection all week long. But without Good Friday, Easter never happened. Just never happened. Without Good Friday, you can't have Easter. Because if nobody's dead, you can't have resurrection." Right from the earliest days, the Bible, the infant church, and the believers had to fight against this. Right from the earliest days, there were those who believed and proclaimed loudly for everyone to hear, "Oh, Jesus really wasn't human. He really didn't come and live as a human being. He wasn't a baby. He just appeared to be a baby. He just seemed to be a person. And when he died, he didn't die. Don't be ridiculous. God doesn't die. He just seemed to die. And he is the risen Lord, reigning in heaven forever and ever. Amen." The church, John's gospel is written to fight that. He only seemed to die. God somehow is out there, untouched by pain and hurt and death and defeat and disease. God is resurrected without ever having to live or die. Now, I truly believe God is out there. God is God. I believe all those omni words, omniscient, omnipresent, all of that stuff. I believe what our creed when we say he reigns in heaven, he has ascended into heaven, and he reigns for us. I believe all that. But at the same time, God was, is right here, alive and well, then not so well, and finally dead. All of the scriptures affirm this. Acts 5 is the proclamation of the early church. This Jesus whom you hanged on a tree, God raised from the dead. Our passage today from John 20, Easter Sunday night. Jesus the resurrected, the Easter Jesus, comes and stands before the apostles and shows them his hands. He shows them the nail marks. He shows them the scar. Come on and touch it. Come on. They're real. They happened. I was dead. Put your hands in. Revelation 1 declares, by his blood, he is the firstborn of the dead. Ask the soldiers who hung him. Hey, oh, you know that guy in the middle, the one in the middle? Yeah, he was dead. Ask the apostles. You know, we kept our distance. You know, we didn't want to get too close, but we could tell when he was dead. Or even Mary and the women, Mary Magdalene and the women. Yeah, he was dead. You can't have resurrection if nobody died. See the nail prints, see the scars. Death is like losing. Have you ever been utterly and completely defeated? I'm talking about a political campaign and a sports event when you just lose. It's awful. It's terrible. The great preacher Fred Craddock tells the story of another seminary professor, early part of the 20th century, who was working on a bond issue in the town where the seminary was, and he worked it and worked it and worked it. The bond issue was for money, obviously for money. Money to get clean water. There were still parts of this major city that people were using outhouses. Kids were playing in polio-infected waters. They needed a new sanitary system. And the bond issue was for that, and the professor worked and worked and worked. And the day after the election, none of the students thought he would come to class. But he did. And he got 3 or 4 minutes into his lecture, and he just stopped and began to weep. Couldn't say another word. He held up a newspaper that says, bond issue defeated. It's just like dying. It's that same dull ache you have when there's a death in the family. Death is the most confusing, the most meaningless thing there is. Everything starts to happen in slow motion, even though you just want to get it over with. People you don't even know are talking to you, and you can't understand what they're saying. And all the food. You know, I'm hungry all the time. But when there's all that food, I can't eat. Mom, you going to clean out Jesus' room? Yeah, not yet. I'll clean it out. Well, when you do, James wants his carpenter apron and his hammer, okay? Okay, that's fine, but maybe next week. Easter begins with the dull ache of death. Easter is Good Friday in death. Easter is Holy Saturday in uncertainty and meaninglessness and confusion. And then finally, Easter is, he is risen. He was dead, and now he lives. And don't give me any sermons. Don't give me any trite things about, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's like the crocus coming through the snow. It's like the return of the robin. There's no calories in any of that. There's not enough nutrition to sustain us in any of that. Because God lived. Because God died. because God lives now forever. We live and we die and we live forever. Amen. Now, does this mean that Jesus is resurrected? So there's no more dying, no more pain, no more disappointment, no more lost games or campaigns. No, not at all. Jesus did not come to the upper room and greet the disciples with peace, wearing a pristine, perfect, not anything wrong with supersuit. Jesus came to the apostles and said, see the nail marks, see the scars. I've been through everything that you all are going through. The Easter Jesus is like us. He wears the badges of injury and pain and even death. God went through everything we go through and is the living God. Paul said it so beautifully in 1 Corinthians 1. We preach Christ crucified. This is the wisdom of God. This is the power of God. In chapter 9 of Hebrews, through the Holy Spirit, by his blood, Christ brought us through death to the living God. He was killed and he is risen. He is risen. Life, death, life forever. Now, how do we know this? How do we have proof of this? Because he came and showed us his scars. And as he showed us his scars, he said, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. You're going to go through this. But there's peace. There's the peace of knowing that Christ is with us. That he went through it, we go through it. And then he breathed on them. This is my favorite moment in all the resurrection appearances. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit of life. When the world was a formless void, a rock in space, a dead orb, the Lord God sent the breath of life, the Holy Spirit, and brought life out of chaos. This beautiful and wonderful earth was given to us. In the beginning, the man was a piece of clay, a rock. There's nothing deader than a rock. And the Holy Spirit came and breathed the life into him. And now he's a living and breathing Holy Spirit person. When Jesus was dead, the Holy Spirit of God was with him. And he lived. And he breathed that same life-giving spirit into the disciples. And he breathes that same life-giving spirit into all humanity. He breathes that life-giving spirit into those we consider those whom we love, our friends, our neighbors, those we can't live without. And he breathes that life, same life-giving spirit into those whom we consider our enemies, who we can't stand to be around. Love your neighbor as yourself. Takes on a whole nuanced meaning when we realize they are breathing the same life-giving spirit as we are. Receive the Holy Spirit. The scarred, the risen Christ gives us, with all our scars, the holy and life-giving spirit. Pain, defeat, death, all happen. And then resurrection. Then resurrection. Now, I hate to tell you this, but I lied. At the beginning of this sermon, I lied. And I said, isn't it too bad it isn't Easter anymore? It's not Easter Sunday anymore, but every minute, every day is day of resurrection. We're all here, day of resurrection. Every Sunday, we celebrate Easter. Every Sunday, we celebrate new life. Now, daily, we come here to celebrate, and here we are. But all week long, it's been kind of tough. It's been kind of tough. We're beat on a little bit more. We have some new scars to bring into the sanctuary this week. We have that uncertainty of Holy Saturday still gnawing at us. Our God understands and walks through, has walked through, is walking through all this death and pain and sorrow, no matter what we bring. So we walk with him now into this life, in this life, where we have a glimpse of the kingdom of God, and we celebrate this life. Don't always feel like jumping up and down and saying, hey, isn't it all great? It's Easter Sunday and Good Friday. Isn't that terrific? We don't feel like that all the time. But we get glimpses of glory. The glimpses of glory that we will live into forever. Now, I was uncomfortable with those church signs in Arizona. Absolutely. Skipping Good Friday. Come on. But I love our church signs here at Covenant Church these days. I'm just loving our church signs. The one that's facing this way, God loves his peeps. Get it? Peeps, Easter, people. Get it? I love that. It feeds my whimsy. I just think that's just swell. And the other side proclaims the truth of our God. We celebrate Easter 52 times a year. We live in it every minute of every day, and we celebrate it 52 times a year. Every week, we celebrate Easter. Death, life, life forever. That's who we are. Thanks be to God for the resurrected Easter Jesus, who obediently accepted death, death on a cross. So, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and proclaim to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is the living and resurrected Lord. Amen. Yeah, powerful preaching today. He is the living and resurrected Lord because he lived and died and lives. We live and die a little bit every day and live a lot every day right here in the kingdom of God in front of us. And we live this in this world and we die to this world and we live forever and ever with him now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Amen.